Showtime!
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Doing well, quite frankly, considering I'm about to move yet again.
No, I don't want to say that. I was going to say something about certain folk, but I'm not going to folk that up.
That was a very moving statement.
Yes. We're here and we're celebrating an anniversary because June 16th, 2000. 5 years. Wow. 5 years to the day. Oh, my God. All right. So June 16th, 2000 was when Titan A.E. was released in theaters. June 16th, 1995 was when the best Batman film ever was released in theaters, Batman Forever.
Boo!
So, yes, it has been 20 years. It's actually over 20 years now, but because we didn't get to record this back in June, but whatever. It had a sad thing is, even though I personally think Titan is kind of a classic at this point, it was a box office flop. Had a budget of between 75 and 90 million. Box office only made 36.8 million. This is a good fucking movie. What in the hell?
Well, the funny thing is about movies around that era, a lot of them flopped, and there were a lot of great movies that came out. The unfortunate part is there were a lot of people that were like, meh. And I feel like if this would have come out today, I feel like this would be a box office smash. Like, it would do well. The other problem with it is people kind of were a little leery of, like, Fox Animation Studios, I think. And, you know, I mean, it had a pretty solid cast. And honestly, like, I loved the animation. I loved the premise. There were a lot of twists and turns. It was kind of dark, but it was original. And we hadn't really seen anything like this. And, personally a fan of science fiction anyway. And Don Bluth films are typically pretty good anyway. Yeah. But that being said, I feel like a lot of movies around that time kind of floundered for whatever reason. And it took until kind of like 2008 for things to kind of start climbing back up that ladder. Like, things kind of were mediocre between, as far as box office, between like 99 and like 2008. I mean, there were good movies that came out and things that stood out. But, I mean, if you really look back, there's not a lot that you'll probably be able to, like, name drop between that time. I mean, there are some. But there's not, like, the plethora that you see now, or in the 90s.
True. And I don't know, and I'm not going to get into a war between two bands here, because one band isn't even anywhere near this film or this score, but I don't know if it's the fact that they advertised this movie with Creed's hit higher at the time. I'm not sure if it's that didn't bring people to the box. Like, you know, you watch the trailer now, you hear the song, and the whole point of the movie is, or the whole premise of the movie is, the Earth gets destroyed, humanity is fucked, and you have to escape. Well, Creed's song Higher is all about escape. So it made sense pairing the song with the trailer, and we know this, we've known this for years now at this point, just because a song is in a trailer doesn't mean it's going to be on the soundtrack or in the movie. A lot of the times it is, most of the times it isn't. But you're right, this was new, it has, you know, it is science fiction animation kind of thing. It's an adventure film, but it isn't taking an existing property and doing something with it. It's taking, you know, I don't want to say tropes because it makes it sound bad, but it takes elements of storytelling from other science fiction and adventure things and applies it to its own unique story. I don't think, well, I don't know. It's the only animated movie that I know of that somebody blew up Earth. I mean, that isn't Transformers or, you know, it's one of, if not the only original animated movie that basically the advertisements for this, the original trailers for this, oh my God. You know, it's just amazing, amazing stuff. And it was just so cool, so interesting. You basically have a star-studded cast between Matt Damon, Bill Pullman, John Leguizamo, Nathan Lane, Janine Garofalo, and Drew Barrymore. Graham Revell does the score on it, and the soundtrack. Oh man, not a lot of I don't want to say. It feels like some of the soundtrack songs are very one-hit wonder kind of things, but just, I mean, it's just so interesting, I think, and the soundtrack really does fit the movie so well. And it's a futuristic thing. It's like, what would happen if, you know, this happened kind of thing.
No, I mean, and I agree. I think that I don't remember any movie that did this to this extent, had kind of that traditional 2D with some kind of CGI elements to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they were starting to get into that era where they were kind of playing around with it a lot, and, mm-hmm. and we kind of saw it. But then there was also the point where they were trying to use people who, I mean, they've always done this to some extent, having voice actors who are famous people other than just regular voice actors. But I think that it kind of worked out in this situation. And Fox kind of likes to play in that, you know, that playground of they want to use people that they think will be a box office draw. Unfortunately, it didn't play out in this. And I think that some of the elements of the sci-fi part of it, I feel like it was part of what turned people off to the film, especially the fact that they don't have Earth to call home, and that, you know, the Dredge blew it up. And
yeah,
but what I found interesting was that, you know, this Project Titan was their opportunity to rebuild the Earth in a different way, because it had all of the DNA of like pretty much every creature that they had, and all of this in this special ship that they locked away and hid. And Matt Damon's character being the only, you know, like the sole help of humanity, you know, and the fact that he was just, you know, just a slacker, basically, and kind of got catapulted into this whole thing because his dad's friend knew of him and kind of watched over him and kind of knew that this was kind of the key. And so, yeah. So I don't know. I think that it was very well done. I think some of it was a little bit jarring as far as like the creatures and the constant attacks and, you know, the backstabbing that kind of went on throughout it and some of the elements. I think that some of it was lost on kids of that era. I think it was a little bit before its time. Like if it had, like I said, if it had come out now, I feel like people would be kind of used to this kind of thing. And the way that humanity is now and with everything being so dark, I feel like that this would have benefited from today. Whereas back then, everything was a lot brighter and everything was, this was kind of ahead of its time in a lot of ways. And that's probably why those of us that have seen it, we look through our Coke bottle lenses where it just looks bigger than life compared to some of the movies we see come out now, which are, again, few and far between in the theater.
Yeah. So, you know what's funny? Because it has been 20 years since this came out, I and with the world, with where the world is currently, we could use a Project Titan right about now, couldn't we? We could use a do-over.
So do we get to pick that none of the politicians come with us? Because I guarantee that they're like 50% of the problem. I feel like humanity is so much better without that. So anyways, that being said, they actually get to do that on Titan, on this After Earth. And, you know, they pretty much start over with one human man and one human woman. And yes, in a lot of ways, it parallels the Bible to some extent, or some of that type of preconceived, you know, starting off with the lone man and woman scenarios. But it's also interesting because there's also aliens in this universe, and there's all kinds of things. And I find it funny that the ones who created the entire problem also were part of the solution.
Yeah. And you know what's really funny about the fact that... So people might have noticed that Studio 2009 has not recorded something in a while because life happens and all of that and everything else. And we're actually recording this. I might actually break the day rule on this one because we're recording this August 19th. And on next Monday, August 24th, it will have been, oh my God, I just, this kind of stuff always blows my mind, folks.
Numbers, will, man.
Yes, yes, yes. Numbers, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what? Without numbers, we wouldn't, yeah.
Without August numbers, 24th, we couldn't have sequels.
That's right. Hey, don't start that.
Sequels.
Talk about that in a minute. So basically, August 24th, 2020 is 10 years to the day when Tooncast episode 68 first covered this movie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Optimus Solo and I covered it on Tooncast episode 68 back in the day in 2010. And I did not. Normally, I do plan this stuff, folks. I didn't plan this time. I really, really didn't. Between my life and Steve's life, we've had so much going on that we haven't had a chance to record the podcast. And yeah, so I find that absolutely hilariously ironic that almost 10 years, it's pretty much going to be 10 years to the day of release, that we've talked about this movie on this network in the past decade or so. Anyway, this film is, I think it's great that they don't, that the way they set the plot up with the Earth being destroyed and humans being the minority, all the other alien life basically treats all humans like garbage, pretty much. And this movie takes place in the year 3028, and then 15 years later in, I don't know what the math is on that, 3046 or 3052 or whatever it is. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I love the way it starts. I love the plot. I love the fact that they go up against, and this might be a simple thing to do, they go up against an energy monster. Basically, the Dredge are a lot of Krim Zeeks.
Kind of. I knew that was coming. Really. I knew it was coming. And then they have the one human that's the traitor of them all.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I had to rat him out, boys.
Mm-hmm. Way to be presidential there, Corso.
Well, it is an Independence Day.
Quite literally. There are a lot of things about this movie that I absolutely love, from the voice acting to the characters to the plot to the music, the animation. The animation on this was and still is beautiful. I love You watch that scene in close to the end of the movie when they're looking for Titan, the ice crystals scene. Animation studios today are not doing that. That was friggin' awesome. I loved that. The whole thing with how they blew up the Earth. Again, taking a cue from Independence Day. At least in Independence Day, they only blew up the White House. Anyway. But just the way it did that and the way it was animated was so fluidly, destructively awesome. It just, man, it gave you a sense of dread, like, oh shit, what are we gonna do now?
I love how it kind of gave this, like, almost finality to the whole thing.
Pretty
and
much.
Then they're like, it's almost like, you know, like your whole Terminator thing, I'll be back. And they, you know, the humans do come back and they kick their sorry butts across the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I only read part of the voice cast earlier, but you have Hellboy in here as Professor Sam Tucker, Ron Perlman. Very awesome. You have the Wild Thing himself, Tone Loke, as Tech, who is the alien that was looking after Kale, played by Matt Damon.
Yeah, he's somebody that kind of just disappeared, like, after the 90s and, like the early 2000s. Yeah. Like, you never saw him again on anything. And I mean, I know he's still alive. It's just he doesn't really do anything, as far as I know. I mean, well, he does the... I guess he's doing, like, some I Love the 90s tour or something as of, like, 2016, 2017. But, I mean, honestly, he hasn't had an album since 91 or 94, and which was, like, Ace in the House, which was Ace Ventura. And as far as filmography, he's... I mean, he's done some things throughout the 2000s, but, I mean, he did Space Cowboys, Titan A.E., Jack and the Beanstalk, and then, like, he's done some other stuff, but it's been kind of, like, nothing. And then television, he's pretty much... He did, like, an episode of Uncle Grandpa and Chowder and, you know, King of the Hill, Yes, Dear, Static Shock. But, I mean, really hasn't done anything since 2014.
Well, I mean, he did collapse in San Francisco in 2016, so he has had health issues in the past. But yeah, I mean, like, the sad thing is the two things I absolutely remember him from are this and Blank Check. Because he was Juice in Blank Check.
Man, I loved Blank Check.
Blank Check is awesome.
That would take on that's a movie that, like, that they... I mean, they probably will remake at some point with modern stuff, because, I mean, if you look at it, it is pretty dated. Macintosh and then, like, the big hulking screen.
Okay, now this is a... This is all your fault.
I mean, that movie, I could see them redoing. This one is still a masterpiece.
Yes, this one is still a masterpiece. This one is a finite story. Now, you said something to me off air, and I almost just puked all over my phone.
I said, what about a sequel? Come on, no. Mike. What if they made a sequel?
No. No. Okay, what whether it was back then or now, what sequel could they make that would make sense story-wise after the events of this film, at, you know, how the Earth was, you know, rebuilt and rebirthed and however, you know, whatever you want to say. Like, what story could they... Oh, my God. We have to evacuate Planet Bob because he got infected by COVID-19. Like, no.
They actually would do something like that. They would call it something else, but, like, they would say it's... Instead of Titan after Earth, it'd be Titan after aliens, or they'd create some COVID acronym and use the E for it.
Yeah, no. That's not... Please, God, no. This is one of those movies that I said, and I will always say, it does not need a sequel.
Well, and you're right. And the funny thing is this was originally supposed to be live action.
Now, if they...
But look at, I mean, Disney owns it now.
Right.
They will remake it at some point as either a live action movie, because they've done that with all of their movies and they reuse the same script.
True.
They've done that with The Lion King. They've done it with Aladdin. They've done it with pretty much everything else that was in their library. At some point, Titan A.E. will probably get the live action treatment. And unfortunately, they'll probably do Ice Age 2.
You mean Ice Age doesn't have like a 12th or a 13th sequel in it at this point? It has to be just remade completely?
Well, I mean, they could always start over. It'd just be free money because they just reuse the script.
True. But I watched this a couple weeks ago. I actually watched it about a month or so ago. I've seen this film in total between the time we planned on recording this episode and actual recording, and I've watched it 3 times. And like I said, it's not like 3 times in a row. It's like I said, a month or two ago, plus a couple weeks ago. And just now before we recorded, because I forget things a lot, even though this movie is basically etched into my brain. My Karen always says to me, it boggles my mind what actually is kept in your brain versus what actually I tell you to do sometimes. I'm like, yeah, I know, right?
It's well, just, you know, you one say of those that. Crazy things. You say that, but my wife says the same thing. She's like, how can you remember such pointless crap, but you can't remember something I told you about life 10 minutes ago? And she's like, I could tell you something, and then you'll forget 5 minutes later. Like, she'll tell me to go take care of something, and then I'll literally walk past it, not even thinking anything about it, because I'm like, oh, I got to go downstairs and record this podcast. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, later in the night, she texts me, and she's like, WTH. Like, she's like, and then she'll put a word, like, forget something, and then, like, I'll be like, what? And then she'll put it in there, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, and then I'll go do it. And she's like, how could you possibly forget? And, you know, some of the things she tells me more than once, but yeah, so.
We're old, that's how we forget.
I'm an old man.
But no, this movie, what this movie has over most other movies like it or trying to be like it, and not a lot of movies are trying to be like this one, as we've already said, the originality in story, the originality in characters and how they act and react to each other, even though there are story elements from other character types and other plot devices. It's just so well done. And the sound design on this, oh, man. Those ships flying by, the takeoffs, the way the dredge ships sound, just the way they make space sound. And there is no sound in space. Well, there is, but you know what I mean. Just the way that it was done was so cool, and it is still so cool. I urge anyone that wants something refreshing to watch Titan AE.
The other side of the token is people may be like, they'll be like, you'll start seeing memes of this. This is what we need to do. Burn it all down, start over. Which people are trying to do right now, you know, that's burn it all down. It just makes a lot of logical sense instead of just fixing it. But anyways, this is a great movie, though. It's one of those ones that, and this is kind of the way it was with a lot of stuff in the 90s even. A lot of the animation stuff that came out of the 90s was pretty stellar. And I'm not saying there isn't stuff now, but it's less... It's a different style and different quality to it. Mm-hmm. It's a different taste. It's a different era. And I say that not to offend anybody, but I say that as someone who has watched a lot of these things, even some of the newer stuff, And while I can find aspects of some of the newer stuff that I enjoy, and I realize that it's not made for me, it's made for the new generation, I find that a lot of it in the story pales by comparison to the stuff from the 90s and the early 2000s. And even some of the 80s, too. Like, some of that block in there from, like, the 85 to, like, kind of 2002, I feel like that was kind of the sweet spot with a lot of the animation. And then we kind of progressed. And not to say, like I said, there have been some things that have been pretty good since. But a lot of the stuff that's come since hasn't had the same caliber or oomph to it that that animation era had.
And I'm not sure what it is, if it's the style change or if it's writers not trying to be original. And look, I am one of the most unoriginal. let's see, unoriginal, unfunny people out there kind of thing. But like, this is an idea I could run with, like figuring out, you know, how to create something like Titan, I could try my best to do. Now, once again, this is a movie that is a standalone. It stands on its own well. It does not need a universe. It does not need seven sequels. It does not need, like, and I get it. Money, 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 money. Sadly, this movie didn't make its budget back, but I would hope over the years that maybe through various, you know, whoever gets the royalties and the this and the that and the whatever, you know.
Well,
if there
wasn't
are still royalties being paid on this? I don't know.
Who knows? Probably all got voided when Disney bought them.
That sucks.
I'm guessing. I'm just being smart with it. But anyways, right. What I was getting at is that I kind of wonder about some of the stuff that gets sequels. But, I mean, this didn't need it. There are series that some do need sequels, some don't. And this is, fortunately, one of the ones that don't.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just, man, I remember how excited I was for this thing because I was in a video store when I first saw some of the advertisements for this. And I'm like, ooh, what is that? And I never got to see it in theaters, and I would love to, but whatever. It is what it is. I'm perfectly fine watching it on my TV at home or my phone or whatever. Because that's the thing. This film is so beautiful, whether you're on a smartphone, a tablet, a big screen television, it looks and sounds amazing no matter what because of the quality of work that was put into it. But back then, you know, 20 years ago, oh man, I didn't even know what this film was. All as I knew was those opening lines in the trailer about, you know, after Earth dies, you know, whatever it was that the announcer said. And I'm like, oh man, I have got to see this movie.
Isn't this, this is a Don Bluth film, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Didn't he do The Iron Giant?
Believe so. I don't want to talk
about it. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I know he did All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of that movie.
I'm checking right now. No, he did not. No, but he did The Land Before Time. He did An American Tale.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Winnie the Pooh, Anastasia, Thumbelina. Yeah, he did. So he did quite a few different things. He worked on a lot of different things. Okay, so I had that a little bit mixed up, but either way, it kind of reminded me in a sense of Atlantis.
Yep.
in a lot of ways, like in a lot of the animation and a lot of the stylistic choices. It kind of felt very much like that.
Absolutely, it did. Yeah, I mean, just, oh man, the body of work that man put into like Secret of Nymph, like I already said, American Tail, The Land Before Time, the original one. He did Rock-A-Doodle. Pebble and the Penguin, like you mentioned, Anastasia, and other things. Just it was when you saw a Don Bluth film, you knew you were in for something special, no matter what the film was. He's one of the greats. He always will be. Anything else we want to bring up about Titan? Anything else we haven't talked about? Anything else? Is there anything in it that you're not really that thrilled with?
Honestly, I didn't really find anything I was that disappointed by.
Yeah, me neither. I've never been disappointed by this film. It just has so much going for it. And it has that, you know, the sci-fi stuff, the adventure stuff. It has the little bit of mystery, like, oh, is Kale's dad alive? Is he not alive? What, you know, what happened? What this, what that, and all of that. And then you get, you know, the double crosses between Corso and Preed and good old Luigi. He awoke from his nap. About time, goon. I think the only thing that shocked me then was that they got Janine Garofalo as a voice. And I'm like, okay, sure, that works. And that character, she fits it so well. She's so angry.
Yeah, she kind of disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yep.
So did Bill Pullman, though.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, just, I guess people just want to retire after a while or something, I don't know. I could be talking up my ass, because I usually end up doing that.
Well, it's probably a Hollywood phase-out. We don't need you anymore.
Let's hope not. Yeah, I think this is kind of sad. I think the last thing he was in, no? He's listed as being in The High Note from this year. Before that, The Sinner in 2017, Dark Waters in 2019. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He's still working, so I was going to say, I think the last thing I remember really seeing him in was seeing films that he's in advertised was Independence Day Resurgence.
Just like Brent Spiner showed back up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just to die again. He likes to do that with his characters, though. Come back and then just die.
Well, that's what happens when you play an android all your life, or most of your life. Anyway.
Yeah.
I
think we've rambled on long enough.
Yes, I'm pretty sure no one's going to listen to this and think we actually did a good job, because apparently everyone hates the podcasts. I do. Anyway.
Unless it's the pullback. And
that's
ATTF.
At best. Yeah. Well, you know. Have to lose a whole year of content on the pull. Anyway, Titan AE, folks, absolutely amazing film, visually stunning, sounds great. What I would love, I know this probably isn't meant for this, but I would love to have a THX 5.1 or 7.1, whatever the best surround system is that I could have. I would love to watch this on that. Because man, there's something to be said about sound design, and a lot of the sounds that are in this film, that are just the sounds and not the vocals. Oh, it's so, so stunning. So coming up next time, we're going to be doing our first guest spot where we have someone come in and we ask them about their own podcast approach. Steve and I did our podcast approach episode of, I think back in episode 5, of Studio 2009, but we are having our first guest on the show in episode 10 for podcast approach, and it is none other than the simple reviewing, trying to be, Mr. DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews. Believe me, folks, there ain't nothing simple about DJ. He is awesome, though. We love him, and he's so cool.
Oh yeah, he's spectacular to work with, and
yes,
I've been a part of many of things that he's written, and so you'll get to hear that in that episode as well.
Yes, absolutely, and you'll get to hear. There's only been a few times in mine and Steve's friendship that he has surprised me with certain things, like the fact that he can voice. Who was that character that I didn't know you could do?
Krang?
No, I've always known you could do Krang. We interviewed Krang.
Well, no, we figured that out when we talked to the Turtles guys podcast on Geekcast Radio, and I pulled out a Krang in the middle of a conversation. And you were like, you can do that?
Okay, well, but this was like recently, within like the last 2 or 3 years, not the last 12.
What was it, Elmo?
Anyway, yeah, probably Elmo. That's probably what it was, But I pulled a reverse on Steve because DJ can do a perfect Owen Davian. Owen Davian was the character played by the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman in Mission Impossible 3. And DJ just makes it so much more creepier. So podcast approach with DJ Valentine and us is coming up next time. After that, who knows, we may get some more dust here in the studio. I'm not sure. We'll try to get some more episodes out. I've got plenty of ideas. We've got a whole list. So that's what's coming up next here inside Studio 2009. Where can the people find you online, sir?
They can find me at SCP-21, and just so people know, the audio quality will be better the next episode than this one, because I've torn down my entire setup while I'm moving, and when we recorded that with DJ, I had my setup going, and so when we record the next one, audio should be better, because I'll have everything set up again.
Yes. And my audio is crap because my computer's in a storage unit back in Illinois.
I might have a solution for that, but we'll...
Yes, I know. Filter, filter, filter. Take a picture already. It'll last longer. You can follow me at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow the show at It's Studio 2009 on Twitter. Also follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter as well. Find us on Facebook. Studio 2009 Podcast and Geekcast Radio Network over there on Facebook. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for us, folks. We will catch you next time here inside Studio 2009.
In a world, there, I said it, happy.